Welcome to Caffeine, Crime and Canines, a podcast brought to you by two girls who love their dogs, love coffee, but most importantly, love true crime.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Happy Easter to everyone and thank you, Lockie.
Thank you.
How have you
been? It doesn't feel like Easter. I don't know. Maybe it's because we're not doing anything.
Are you usually in Warrnambool over this break? I feel like usually you are. Maybe that's why.
Yeah, usually we are. And we were going to go, but like Elsie was a bit sick this week and I just couldn't be bothered. I just couldn't be arsed this week. So we might go next weekend or the weekend after, but yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. I feel like you probably just need the 4 days downtime, you know, do stuff around the house and catch up with shit.
Speaking of, I actually hired a carpet cleaner this morning. Don't ask me why. To clean my couch, and I'm like, I just did it before. I'm actually completely exhausted now.
Did it work? Are you happy with the results?
I'm not it's better than it was. Elsie's just completely destroyed our couch. She's just so messy. She's just, I don't know. She just spills her water all the time and, you know, you can't keep her off the couch either. You can't say no food on the couch because she just does what she wants. It looks better than it did before, but I don't think it's perfect, but.
I feel, when I was younger, when we'd go to my yayas and things like that, they had plastic on their couches. I've never seen this in this day and age, but when I think back to my childhood, and we'd visit places, that's exactly what they had, plastic. How freaking uncomfortable is that? So funny.
I don't think I'd go that far.
I was literally just going to say, when I go to my dad's, because he's just got a new couch, and if he sees that I'm with Victor, he brings out, I'm not kidding you, a sheet from the bed to put on his couch. So he can get up there. Dad is clean, he's an inside dog. He's like, we'll just put this here just in case. It's so freaking funny. But anyway, sorry, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, obviously, Easter today, Elsie got an Easter basket, Olive also gets an Easter basket, and... Honestly, we haven't really done that much. Elsie has been a freaking nightmare today. I think it's the sugar, being out of control. We might do an Easter hunt when she gets up from her nap this afternoon if she's in a okay mood. She's been, throwing things. When she's mad, she throws everything. And she threw a book at Monkey's eye today, so he's pretty peeved off with her. She's a bit of a savage.
It must be, but that's a trick because she just turned two, didn't she?
Yeah.
Yes, terrible twos. That's totally a thing.
Yeah.
I follow Steph Claire Smith. Do you follow her on Instagram?
Yeah.
And I feel like she was saying something recently as well just about her son, that the same thing, that he's been really mean to her husband and throwing things at him and stuff. So it just must be the stage.
Yeah. And I do not succumb to throwing. If she throws something, we just completely look away, don't react. We just pretend it didn't happen. I feel if I turned around and said, no, don't throw that, she would think it's funny and keep doing it. So I just don't react. Yeah. She's a crate, absolutely crazy.
I'm so bad with my friends that have kids because when they tell them off, I literally have to walk out of the room. I find it so funny, which I know. You'd be like, Karina, don't freaking laugh. But I think it's just seeing my friends be serious. You know what I mean? It just, kills me. So bad.
If she's being a good girl, she'll get an Easter egg hunt this afternoon. But if she wakes up in a mood, she won't be getting one.
She looks so cute in the photo you posted this morning. And her hair's gotten a bit darker, hasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Maybe it was just the light. Yeah. She looks so cute. Oh.
She's so cute, even though
Olive's basket?
Olive got just a new stuffed toy. It's like a monkey or something. And I got her, Pet Barn had these. It was shaped like a bone and it had four dog chocolate Easter eggs and then like some little treats in the middle. So she's had an Easter egg this morning and a few treats. But, you know, I was very unorganized with Olive's stuff this year. Like, I actually just went and got that stuff yesterday. And when I brought it home, I think she knew, like, it was for her. And she was following me around yesterday afternoon like a bad smell. Like, she knew that there was something for her and she wanted it. And she was – everywhere I looked, she was behind me.
Oh, that kills me.
But, yeah, does Victor get things for Easter? Like, will he get –
thinking that because I was like, I don't think I've got any. I definitely do an Easter photo shoot. So I will be doing an Easter photo shoot with Victor. Like, I've got all different little outfits, like bunny outfits and a little chick outfit and stuff. So I'll definitely do his photo shoot. But I can't remember if I've bought him like Easter eggs in the past. I actually have no idea. How bad's that? I might go to Pet Bunny.
You'd have to buy some today, probably.
Yeah, I know. Otherwise, yeah. So that's something I should do for him.
Yeah.
But yes.
What else do we have to talk about?
Oh my gosh, I've got something that I just saw. Must have been yesterday. I can't remember if I sent it to you either. And honestly, we won't talk about this for long, but we does need to mention, did you see that Gypsy Rose and her husband have separated?
I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, of course.
I mean, I'm not surprised. And at the same time, I was very happy that you said, I just want to take time out and be by myself, and I think that's the best thing for her. Like, so I was happy with that, and hopefully
she's been doing as well, like some documentary that's followed her since her release, and I think it's like a multi-episode thing, like just her life
airing. Is it airing?
Yeah, I don't know when it's airing, but I know that it's coming.
Okay.
I wonder if, like, Ryan was behind all of that, you know, being out in the media.
But is Ryan the husband? I don't even know.
Yeah.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me. That would not surprise me.
So maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that hopefully this is just – she can just focus on herself now, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But, yes, that's sort of it with me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have – much other news, really. I mean, the only big thing that happened this week was that boat crashed into that bridge in America, which I don't know if you've looked much into it, but it's really right up your conspiracy theory alley.
Really? I've seen it. And that, and actually something else freaking huge, the Diddy raids. That is huge. And I'm not surprised I haven't heard all about that.
I haven't looked too much into that. But is it? It's similar, like, storyline to R. Kelly, right?
Yeah. And, like, human trafficking stuff. And I don't know that much about it either. But, honestly, you know, 2020 changed my – I used to be all about Hollywood. Like, Lockie, when – like, we worked together, how much was I into, like, celebrities and Hollywood? Like, I freaking loved everything about it. And ever since then, I'm just so put off by the whole thing. I just feel like it's a – disgusting phony mess. Like, that's how I feel about Hollywood. So when I see this sort of stuff, I'm just like, ugh, like, I'm not even surprised. But have tell you, me about this boat thing.
Oh yeah, so the boat thing, it was like a huge big cargo ship, and it was a Singaporean cargo ship that was leaving the port near Baltimore in America, and the boat crashed into one of the columns in the bridge, and the bridge completely collapsed. And I don't think there was many people driving along the bridge because it was overnight, but there was construction workers doing, like, maintenance on the road. So I think a few of them died because they obviously fell into the water and stuff like that. But the conspiracy against it, like, I mean, I don't really know too much into it. There's a lot of, like, overlapping details of, like, the date and then, like, obviously, I think it was in The Simpsons. Like, you know, The Simpsons, predict all the shit.
They're so time travelers for sure. There's a time traveler writer on there anyway.
And then, like, from the footage, you see, like, the power go out on the ship as it's moving, and then it comes back on, and then the power goes out again when it hits the thing, hits the column. And I think that the conspiracy theory is that, like, the boat was being, like, it was hacked and the systems were being, like,
manipulated
by somebody else. Oh. Yeah. Because, like, did you ever watch that movie on Netflix, Leave the World Behind?
Yes. Oh my, this is exactly what I thought of when I saw this.
Yeah, so I think like that's the theory that people think that like, yeah, someone's hacking and like doing all these things. I don't know. I don't know too much about it, but yeah.
Well, you know, now that we're talking about this sort of stuff, there is something I am dying to tell you, and I don't know if you know this because I didn't know this, but I caught up with my friend the other day, right? And she has a Tesla. And I was like, cool, so she drove. So we drove up to the steps, and we get out of the car, and she goes to me, you know that the car, like the Tesla, records everything while you're gone? And I was like, yeah. What the heck do you mean? She's like, I'll show you when we get back in the car. So we got back in the car, and it says like 17 people came near your car, and it's a full recording while we're gone, and it shows it like every, like, I don't know, there's a dot every time someone got close to the car. And you can hear them talking as well. Like, what the heck? I did not know this. That you're completely being recorded near a Tesla.
Yeah.
So you knew. Wow. Blew my mind.
Yeah. 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 It's pretty crazy. I mean, it's obviously a safety thing, like, for the driver, but it's also kind of creepy.
No, I think it's totally creepy. And, like, just in general, like, privacy issues. I don't know. It's just something about it. Just, creeps me out.
I wonder what the, like, the distance that it records would be. Like, I wonder what the radius is.
Well, I saw the recording, and it looks like it's just obviously around the car. So I could see, and it shows, like, I think it's, like, back sides and both sides. It's crazy. But, like, I just cannot believe this yet. That's a thing. I did not know that. And she went away. Like, when she went overseas, she was logging into the Tesla to look around, like, as in be able to see around the car while they were away, like the house and stuff. Mm. How crazy is that? Cool. From her phone, yeah.
Because I found out, like, recently that Teslas, like, you can buy apps for your Tesla. So, like, one of the apps is, like, the driverless you don't have a drive, like, it drives for you.
Oh, that
that's an app that you buy.
And it actually does drive.
Yeah, I don't think it's approved in Australia, though. So, like, if you have a Tesla in Australia, you can't get the app here. But I think you can overseas. Like, there's been a few things in the news about Teslas that were involved in car crashes, and the driver says, oh, well, I was using the pilot driving.
That makes me so uncomfortable. I can't explain to you how uncomfortable that makes me.
Yeah. And that's what happened in that movie, is that they hacked all the Teslas and they were crashing into each other.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
This is why I like petrol. I don't want electric shit just creeps me out. And I think I put up a meme. I might have put it actually on my personal Insta, but it's literally of John Connor, you know, from what's it called? From all the Terminators. It must be, the Terminators. And he's like, I try to warn you about this stuff.
Do you know what the creepiest thing is? I'm not sure if you know this, but that movie, Leave the World Behind, do you know who that was produced by?
Yeah.
The Obamas. You do? Yeah. Isn't that creepy? That is a weird detail. It's like they know.
I love that you think that's weird, because for me, I'm just like, again, a little side eye, because I'm like, what the heck's going on here? It's just so weird that all this stuff's connected. And the fact that, you know, like, a lot of people think that everything within the next, let's say, year, that there will be, like, a complete blackout, like, as in online blackout, like, everything will go down. And then remember how I was telling you all those freaking billionaires building bunkers and all this stuff? There's just, I don't know, there's just something going on. I don't know what it is, but there is something going on.
Yeah.
And I feel like that movie is, like, hinting, like, do you know what I mean, trying to mentally prepare you for it.
Yeah. Oh, God. So,
anyway, hopefully stay tuned. Lost too many. Yeah, exactly. Actually, you know, I was talking to Ringo, and he's like, you totally should do, like, a conspiracy hour. You know what I mean?
I would like to do that because I feel like you are so into your conspiracies, whilst I'm a bit more, like, reserved when it comes to things like that.
No, I feel like you're more real, not realistic, but you sort of turn, like, you'd be like, Karina, that's ridiculous. Whereas I'm like, nah, Lockie, this is freaking happening, you know?
I'll never forget when we worked together and that guy came in that was like the engineer on the Twin Towers that investigated the Twin Towers after they collapsed. And he was explaining about how like from an engineering perspective, how the building collapsed from that, the impact. And you're like saying under your breath, like, oh, that's weird.
I had those questions for him and he was like caught off guard.
Yeah.
Like, what is this freaking admin person doing in this engineering thing? And I was like, then how about this? But how about that? But yeah. Takeaway from that though was, because I asked that guy, because he said that particular, this is in like building 7 from memory, the builder had building 7 came down and he was saying that it was one particular bit that caught fire or something, melted, and then that caused the whole building to come down. And then I asked him, because I'd seen this somewhere, I'm like, yeah, but if you were going to demolition a building, what post would you use? He's like, you'd use that post. I'm like, exactly. Like, how can you prove that it wasn't that then? And he's like, ah. I can't remember what he said, but yeah, so funny.
Also, before we get started, this is our 150th episode.
I know, what the actual heck, Lockie.
Yeah, like that is a huge milestone. I feel like we should be having a
celebration or something. Wait, 2 weeks, we totally can celebrate.
Actually thought it would be good to let our listeners know. Last night, I actually, for Australian listeners, this will be make a bit more sense. But the Listener app, which is pretty much filled with podcasts, it's Nova, like the radio station Nova, it's their podcasts. And you don't just get to go on the app. Like, we can't just release this podcast on the app whenever we want. They have to actually accept us. We have to submit an application and they have to think that we're good enough and then put it on the platform, which obviously would be amazing for us. It would open so many doors. Last night, I actually did our application, which is exciting. I mean, I don't know if we should be getting our hopes up. Like, I don't know how like rigorous this process is, but, it would be super fun if we got on there. Yeah. And I had to write a synopsis about us as a podcast. I had to write little bios about us as people. What else did I have to write? It was actually quite fun, like, to reflect on like everything. And then I had to submit like a 5-minute clip, and I used a 5-minute clip from the Nanette Alice episode, because I feel like at the start, we were just being so funny, and I submitted that part because I thought, you know, obviously what do we want to sound entertaining. So I used that, which was so funny. But I really hope it works out. I don't know if it matters if any of the listeners like message the listener Instagram or something to say that they like our, you know, they like our podcast, if that would help. Like, I'm not sure, but I thought I'd just put it out there in the universe.
Yes, I like it. All, you know, about
this is
the universe
manifestation. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's out there. I really hope that they maybe at least even want to chat to us. That would be good. But
yeah,
if everyone can keep us in their thoughts, I don't know how long this process takes, but yeah, it would be like, I reckon it would be pretty life changing for us if they accepted us.
That, yeah, oh gosh, I'm crossing all my fingers and toes. And while we're on this, if you do want to even just help us a little bit, just give us a 5-star review and write a little review. That does wonders, honestly. Yeah, and we do really appreciate it.
Yeah, we do. But yes. I think with all of that housekeeping aside, we should get into this week's case.
Yes, let's do it.
To an overnight vigil for Celeste Mano, the 24-year-old Melbourne woman murdered by a stalker. Friends and family honouring her life a day after her killer avoided a life sentence. We go live now to 7 News reporter Hope Wilson in Melbourne. Hope, it was a sombre vigil, but there's community outrage this morning.
Good morning, Nat. The family and friends of Celeste Mano plan to gather to celebrate her life, but instead last night they say they were gathering in grief after Louay Seiko, the man who killed Celeste, avoided a life sentence. Instead, he was given 36 years behind bars. He'll be eligible for parole in 30 years. It was an incredibly emotional vigil there last night. Family and close friends all gathering around her grave, wearing black, watching videos of that woman in her 20s. They had candles and flowers around her grave. Take a listen to a moment from that vigil.
I want you to
Seiko became infatuated with Celeste Mano after they worked together. He stalked her and, despite an intervention order, continued to send her dozens of messages. In November 2020, he broke into her home and stabbed her to death. He will be eligible for parole in 2050. Celeste's family is still fighting for better protection of stalking victims.
Yep. Nat? Just horrific, isn't it? Thank you, Hope.
Okay, so I just want to say a big thank you to Sarah who requested this case. So today we will be discussing the case of Celeste Mano. Celeste Mano was born on November 22nd, 1996 to Tony Mano and Aggie DiMaurio. Her parents had separated, so she lived with her mother and younger brother Alexandro in Mernda. And Mernda is like a suburb in the northeast of Melbourne CBD.
It's like a new made-up suburb.
Yeah, because it's not. I was gonna say I actually googled where the heck this was because I had no idea. But she also had an older brother named Jaden who did. He had his own family, so he didn't live with the family. Celeste's been described as popular, bright, and lively. Not to mention, she was an absolute stunner. Like, how gorgeous is she?
She is, yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. So she excelled as a high school cheerleader and was regarded as the most intelligent and beloved member of her family. Her close-knit relationships extended far beyond her immediate family to include a wide circle of friends and extended family. And I just want to say, I know this is like a bit of a meme, but from what I can see and from what everyone says, she literally lit up a room. Like, she was that girl.
Yeah.
Celeste had just graduated from studying criminology and psychology at RMIT. And she wanted to understand the suffering people went through in hopes of helping them.
Yeah.
In 2020, she worked at a call center run by the global company Serico, and this was located in Mill Park. Serico is a big company that helps governments with managing buildings and services, like important infrastructure, and I'm pretty sure things like Centrelink. I did see Centrelink mentioned somewhere, so that sort of made sense to me.
Yeah.
Despite her young age, Celeste quickly climbed the ranks at Serico, becoming a team leader at just 23. However, Celeste's success at work was overshadowed by a stressful situation. Louay Suco, a former colleague who had been terminated from Serico due to performance issues in June 2019, began stalking her. Louay was a 35-year-old and he was born in Iraq in 1984 to Christian parents. They were given a visa and moved to Australia in 1992. Louay and his five siblings were raised in Melbourne's northern suburb of Roxburgh Park. He struggled with feelings of rejection and persecution both in school and in the workplace, and he was known to be like a bit of a loner. That's how his that's how his family would describe him.
Yeah.
Although Celeste had limited interaction with Louay during this time, like during his time at Serco, and just in case you're wondering, he started there in April 2018, so he hadn't even been there a year yet, right?
Yeah.
She had shown him kindness and empathy during his exit from the company.
Which is nothing out of the ordinary.
Like, no, I don't think so.
Her kindness isn't like she was going out of her way. She was generally just being like a sympathetic human being.
Exactly. And if she had no contact with him, let's just say all the months prior to him leaving, and she was nice to him for what, let's just say 5 minutes. This is just crazy, you know?
Yeah.
So This is reported a few different ways, but from my understanding, the direct manager has to walk out the ex-employee from the building. So Celeste had to walk him out, right? Now, she felt a little bad for Louay and offered him words of encouragement and wished him well on his future. Like you said, pretty standard stuff. She extended her hand as a gesture of farewell, but to her surprise, he leaned in and kissed her cheek. Ugh. Thanking her for the kindness and empathy she had shown him during his departure. And like we said before, I don't know if this is what set him off. Like, he had never been in an intimate relationship with anyone before. So is it possible that he misinterpreted her professional gesture as like romantic? It's like sounds delusional, you know?
I think like maybe that's true. But I think as we get on throughout the story and we see what happens, I think that he's not a normal human being. Like, his brain does not function normally.
Yes, yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. So Celeste had told some of her colleagues and her mother about how uncomfortable the kiss made her feel, but she managed to just sort of like laugh it off. Expecting no further contact with Louay, Celeste was surprised when he messaged her on Instagram a few days later. Over the next year, Louay's obsession with Celeste grew, with him sending her 140 messages from 100 different profiles. At the start, Celeste was nice but firm with Louay that she was in no way interested in him and politely asked him to stop contacting her. So I want to read you one of the messages she wrote. Hi, Louay. Those are really sweet words. I appreciate you saying all of that to me. I'm a bit surprised to read this all as it's I'm a bit surprised to read this all as it's new to me. As much as I appreciate this, I only feel in a professional way towards you and wish you all the best for your new job and journey. Like, how nice is that message?
Yeah, and that's when any normal person would be like, oh, okay, I got confused.
Yes, exactly.
And would step away. Yeah.
Exactly. Celeste put up with the constant messaging for the first 6 months, thinking he would lose interest. Initially, the messages resembled love letters or poetry, like they were really nice, sort of like lovey, you know. But they soon turned mean, derogatory, vulgar, and sexually explicit. Concerned for her daughter's safety, Aggie convinced Celeste to report Louay to the police. I think Celeste still didn't really want to take it to the police, but, you know, her mum's like, no, like, we have to, yeah. You know what I mean? We have to let them know. Now, this is going to make you fume, and there totally does need to be some sort of conversation around what happened when she took this to the police, right?
Yes.
And I feel like, especially that this happened in our hometown, like, it makes you feel just so uneasy. So the officer they spoke to advised Celeste that there wasn't really much he could do, seeing as Louay technically hadn't done anything illegal. He suggested she ignore the messages and take a break from social media. This is what he said to her. And he said, like, this is just what it's like these days on social media.
Oh, my God.
I know. Celeste had attempted to block Louay several times, but each time he would reappear within 30 minutes, sending her direct messages from a different account. So she'd block him, and then he'd just pop straight back up again. And some of the times, if it's within 30 minutes, he must be literally just sitting there staring at his phone. Like, that's alarming.
And this is as well where, like, Instagram or Meta or whatever they're called now, like, how is someone able to make all these accounts one after the other, when you get blocked, how are they able to then just go and make another account straight after?
Well, think about all those Sheen 1257. Like, there's how many of those stupid Sheen like accounts? It's really easy to do a dodgy Insta. But you know what's funny? Because Meta owns Facebook and Instagram, you can make a bunch of them, but you know how hard it is to make a fake profile on Facebook?
Yeah.
And I know because I tried to do one. And they're freaking hard. That's like, just random.
They're a tech company. Like, they would have the most revolutionary tech, like, I think, out of most companies. Like, why can they not develop more, like stronger procedures so people can't do this? It's like they don't care that it happens.
I know.
Hmm.
Makes me fume. So despite Celeste's pleas for him to stop, Louis's messages became increasingly obsessive and disturbing. He professed his infatuation with her and admitted his obsession was interfering with his life. And I do want to read just a few of these messages to you, right? Mm. I'm so infatuated with you that it's now becoming unhealthy. I'm sorry, but I can't stop thinking about you. I've never felt this way about anyone in my life. It's bordering on OCD. I'm totally infatuated with you, captivated and fascinated by you. You're all I think about. After leaving you, my productivity and my personal life in my new job has been impacted. This obsession with you, which is a crush, is an addictive and destructive feeling, interfering with my ability to concentrate, deal with others, and go about my daily routine. Celeste would reply things like, I would really appreciate if you would stop contacting me as this is making me very uncomfortable.
Mm.
There's just like a few more, another message, for instance. I know you reject me. I get it. I'm like dirt to you. I get it. You hate me. I get it. Then why are you still freaking messaging her?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I don't know if you want some of the sexual messages he sent her. They actually mm-hmm. make me sick. But the fact that he is never been sexually active just yeah. makes me think, what the fudge are you thinking?
Yeah.
Do you want it or not?
I mean, I've read it, but if the listeners want it, I think maybe just put it out there.
All right, cool. So one of the messages he sent her was, have you ever had a beast pound on you, Celeste? This is mortifying. Like, if this was me, I'd actually feel scared. Celeste, if you had my body for a day, what would you do to me? Like, just a sicko. All right. By this stage, Celeste was scared and losing sleep. And I honestly do not blame her. Like,
yeah.
Fearing for her safety. And do you know what else, right? Apparently, it has been reported, that people had seen him lurking around her work. So, obviously, you'd be, like, fearful for your safety, right? So, Celeste sought help from her workplace, where a safety plan was put in place, including escorting her to and from her car each shift. She confided in her supervisor, expressing her fear, saying, quote, he's really going to kill me. Eventually, after another 6 months had passed, Celeste and Aggie decided that they would return back to the police, this time armed with more evidence of the stalking.
Well, now that he's been seen outside her work, like, surely they can do more now.
Exactly. And you know what? The policeman they spoke with this time around was much more helpful, and he was actually shocked that they had been turned away during their first visit.
Mm.
He suggested obtaining a personal safety intervention order, so an IVO, against yeah. Louis, which pretty much meant that he had to stay away from Celeste. Like, he wasn't allowed to contact her, obviously be within a certain distance of her. While it was technically just a piece of paper, it provided some reassurance, although both Celeste and her mother still felt like a little bit uneasy about the whole situation. Louis stayed away for about a month after the order was issued, but he breached it by sending Celeste a 3-page letter over Instagram pleading with her to retract it. And this was in August 2020.
Yeah, like, retract the intervention order.
Yes.
Why would she do that?
I know. What a freaking idiot. So Celeste contacted the police and Louay was charged with breaching the order. Following this, Louay stayed away and Celeste and Aggie believed that he had finally been scared off. Like, you would totally think this.
But what is the consequence for breaching the order? Like, what happened to him?
Well, I wondered as well because it says that he was charged with it. So I wonder, like, I actually didn't look into whether he had to do, like, I don't know, like 48 hours in jail. I don't actually know. But there has to be some sort of consequence if you're charged for it. Is it a fine? Is it jail time? I have no idea. Do you know?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Something I should have looked into. I will definitely be looking into this after that this episode, though, because, yeah, now I'm curious. While all this was happening, Celeste had begun dating a co-worker named Chris. In mid-November 2020, they spent the weekend together and took some photos. Celeste was really excited to make their relationship official by posting the pictures on Instagram. On the evening of Sunday 15th, 2020, Celeste posted the photo with Chris to her Instagram. She then spent time with her mum watching a movie and planning her upcoming 24th birthday party, which was only 6 days away. She was excited to celebrate and spend time with her new niece, Daisy, especially since the restrictions had just been lifted in Melbourne. Like, this was sort of peak COVID restrictions. So yeah, at that stage, I feel like we had been in lockdown for a while, and by November, things were starting to be lifted. So, like, some sort of normalcy.
I think about this time as well, like, you know, October, November, 2020, this was when we had to have, like, permits to work. Like, if you were out on the street driving, you had to show a permit that you were only out for employment purposes at that time.
Oh, even in November, December?
Yeah.
Oh, really? That is crazy.
I remember that time because it's when I started with my current workplace. And, yeah, I had a permit to work from my previous workplace because I used to go, like, to the lab or whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, that was the time that you had a permit. I think that's an interesting point, obviously, when we find out what happened, but, yeah.
I think at this stage, you could still – this is – because I remember 2020, we actually had, like, a little Christmas party at, like, the Bowls Club. So I don't think we were allowed to be working in the office from memory, but we were allowed to go to this, like, Christmas party. It was, like, such a weird time when you think about it. But, yeah, it is very interesting because there wouldn't have been that many people out and about around this time.
No.
So, obviously, she was really excited about her birthday coming up. However, tragedy struck in the early hours of Monday morning. Aggie was awoken by the sound of breaking glass. It took her a moment to realize she wasn't having a nightmare, and when she did, she could hear Celeste gasping for air. In a panic, she ran to Celeste's room. And despite Aggie's efforts to save her daughter, it was too late. It would come out later, although Louay had stopped contacting Celeste directly over the last 3 months, he had continued to stalk her and monitor her on social media. Around 3:20 a.m. on November 16th, 2020, Louay left his Roxburgh Park home and drove to Celeste's home in Mernda, arriving at 3:48 a.m. He scaled the fence, walked through the backyard, and smashed his way into her bedroom with a hammer. He then brutally attacked her with a kitchen knife, stabbing her 23 times, including a fatal wound to her heart. She suffered defensive wounds on her forearms and arms as she tried to protect herself. This entire thing lasted only 2 minutes and 39 seconds, and this includes Louay walking back to his car. That's how quick it was. Mm. After the attack, Lue fled back out the bedroom window he broke through, and it's believed that this is the smashing glass that Aggie awoke from. So it wasn't when he broke into the house, it was when he was leaving. That's what woke up Aggie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He then scaled back over the fence, and I don't know if you've seen photos of the fence, Lockie, but there is blood dripping from the fence.
Ooh.
Ambulance services quickly responded, and they were captured on CCTV footage passing Lue's car as he fled the scene.
My God.
That's how quick they were, yeah. Lue drove directly to Mernda Police Station, where he provided police with Celeste's address and told them, quote, "She's dead. She's dead. Go have a look. You know what happened. It's your fault." I mean, I don't understand what that is, but that was quoted in the articles I read. Like, I don't know what he's talking about there. And he also asked police to shoot him. He was arrested and later underwent surgery for cuts sustained during the attack on his hands.
God.
Before being charged with murder. Police investigators uncovered evidence on Lue's laptop, including photos of Celeste and Chris, along with Google searches of Chris's name and LinkedIn page, and the pub where they were seen, where they were photographed, sorry. You know what I was thinking, though? Because if she's on private, how is he getting... He must have had, like, a phony account that he was following her prior to a lot of all this stuff started. Because how would he have all these details?
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless Chris wasn't private. But I've got a feeling if they know that she's got a stalker. I mean, I don't know if Chris was private, but let's just say I assume he was. How did he, I always wondered, how was he monitoring her Instagram if she had blocked him?
Yeah, I don't know. No idea.
It's interesting, right?
Yeah.
So Lue had meticulously planned the attack, finding a copy of Celeste's property floor plan online. So he had the floor plan to her house, right? And he did this to identify which bedroom was hers. He purchased the knife and the hammer the day after his arrest in August, and, as I said, was actively monitoring her social media. And, Lockie, this obviously means he mustn't have spent much time in jail. So he was arrested, but then the day after his arrest, he went and bought this knife and hammer.
Yeah. See, like, that annoys me. It's like, what's the point in having them if they don't get any, there's no consequence?
Yeah, 100%. So Lue, now 39 years old, pleaded guilty to the stabbing murder of Celeste Mano. This plea came last April after years of attempting to contest the charges. Despite his attempts, Lue was sentenced to 36 years in prison with a non-parole period of 30 years. He has already served about 3 years in pre-sentence custody. Lue, in his defense, claimed that Celeste was the first person he had ever felt romantic feelings towards, and he felt like the couple were laughing at him in that photo. Like, what the fuck? Like
that is not a defense.
I know.
Oh, my God.
However, he later dumped his legal team and expressed a desire to contest part of the murder case. Specifically, he says that he only caused two of the wounds and the rest were caused by the broken glass. Like, this is absolutely infuriating, because what this means is now, like, at trial, they had to go through each stab wound to show why it wasn't glass. I mean, that caused it. It's just, like, horrifying. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
An absolute, like, I just feel so bad for her family. He even sought to represent himself at a plea hearing. Now, a forensic psychiatrist attested that Louise suffered from extreme personality disorder, depression, and body dysmorphia, although he was not deemed psychopathic. I think he was going for this, right? Hence why he drove to the police station and things like that. Like, he was trying to do things to make the police think that he was unstable. In the aftermath of the killing, Louis tried to exaggerate his illness in attempts to be declared mentally unfit to stand trial, but his efforts failed. Aggie expressed her pain and anger towards Louis in court, stating, quote, "Look up, look ahead, I'm here, you gutless, gutless wonder. I hate you, and the only other person I hate more than you is me." Lockie, do you know how sad this makes me? She emphasized the profound loss and self-loathing she experienced due to Celeste's murder and not being able to save her. So she really feels like part of this is her fault because she couldn't save her. And, you know, Celeste should have been safe at home in her own bed.
Yeah.
You can tell how loved Celeste was and how much she meant to her family. They will never recover from this. And there are so many just like statements and quotes and things that I've read, but I did, like, there's so many out there, but I've just picked a few that I wanted to read, like just messages that are absolutely heartbreaking from her siblings and parents. So her youngest brother, Alexandro, said, "She was beautiful. She was my best friend, and no one else in this world knows me like she did. We were joined since kids. I've never had a bond like that ever. I won't ever again. I feel like she's going to come home from work any minute, and I don't know how I'm going to get through it." It's really sad. Yeah. Her older brother, Jaden, wrote on Instagram, "I'm sorry we didn't get to spend as much time together as we would have liked, but I will forever cherish the time we had together. My daughter, who you were so proud and excited to call your niece, will always grow to hear stories about how amazing her Zia Celeste was, and I promise you I will do my absolute best to raise her and empower her to be as strong and as wise as you." Her dad, and this just makes me extra sad, hadn't seen Celeste in almost like 8 months thanks to those effing COVID restrictions. But he had a chance to take her out for one last breakfast before she was murdered. And he says that he will treasure that breakfast for the rest of his life. Also, just this last weekend, he said, quote, "He should be walking." Sorry, the quote starts now. "Walking my daughter down the aisle, not down Bourke Street, fighting for justice."
Yeah, because there was a march.
It was literally last week. So we'll get into that shortly. But her mum's pain is just so raw and absolutely heartbreaking. Quote, "I still tucked her in at 23. We kissed each other goodnight and said, I love you. We had no idea that would be our last time. That was the night she died." Every year for Celeste's birthday, she bakes her a coconut cake, and this is because apparently that night they'd spoken about what she wanted for her birthday, and she wanted this coconut cake. So she still bakes it every year for her birthday and takes it to her gravesite, fulfilling a wish Celeste never had the chance to taste, like the cake. Celeste's family are devastated Louis didn't receive a life sentence. Aggie and even her whole family are just fighters and will do everything in their power to have the prosecutor appeal the judge's decision. But I did see just, I think it was yesterday or the day before, that this was declined, like as in the prosecutor decided that they will not be appealing, which is so freaking sad. I mean, I don't think that's the end. As I said, I think her family will keep fighting for Celeste. But yeah, it's just like it's a bump in the road. There are two petitions I will put up on our Instagram. One is for mandatory life sentences for murder, which I did go, like, because I was like, yes, I was like all for it. And I do know it's a little bit controversial because I was looking on chat just to see, like, do you know what I mean, some of the comments to and for this. And I understand, like, some of, for instance, the people arguing against this are like, yeah, but that just means, like, if someone was to murder someone, they could just go and murder a whole bunch of more people with the same consequence. So that's sort of why it's a little controversial. But surely, I mean, there would be some sort of boxes you'd need to tick to get this mandatory life sentence. So, I mean, there has to be a way around this, because this Louis definitely deserves a life sentence, especially if he's been issued with freaking, like, he was arrested for stalking and there was all these prior things that were happening in the lead up and she wasn't protected and he kept going, kept going, kept going. He freaking deserves a life sentence. I don't give a shit, right? So, I mean, in this situation, I 100% agree with him. He should have life. And not only that, but like we were saying earlier, and what I've been seeing in the news now is just Victoria is just so freaking lenient on parole and even life sentences. And it's an absolute disgrace, Lockie.
Yeah.
Another one of these petitions is for stringent laws for victims of stalking and violence. And Celeste's family are calling for mandatory jail terms for perpetrators who break the intervention orders and GPS tracking for high risk or violent offenders. And I don't even, this shouldn't even be something that they're like calling for. This should be something that should be going through the courts. This should be something that is put in place, especially the GPS tracker, because imagine being able, like, I'm not saying to obviously be able to see where they are at all times, but if they get within a certain distance to you, you should be freaking notified. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right.
Especially if they are high risk or violent offenders.
I know this may be a bit of a controversial conversation, but do you know if he was an Australian citizen or he was, like, his family were just here on the visa?
Well, I'm not sure, because if he was granted, like, citizenship?
A humanitarian visa. Yeah, like, he pretty much came here as a refugee.
And actually, you know something which is freaking wild? Do you know that his brother's also in jail, his youngest brother, for murdering someone? Do you know this? At QBH? No,
but this is why people are so against, like, I guess, how many refugees Australia takes in, because you think, as this family, for example, you know, what is it, 2 out of 5 people, 40% of that family have ended up in jail.
Yeah, for killing an Australian, and probably killing an Australian citizen.
Yeah. You know, and I'm not saying that people out there don't deserve to seek refuge in Australia. I'm not saying that. I think, you know, obviously where we can fit people, we should. But, like, you can see why people are so against it. Like, you can understand when you hear about things like this.
Yeah. Oh, there has to be something. There has to be, like you said, a conversation. And I get that apparently it is very hard to get into Australia as it is. From all, like, the comments I see, it's pretty hard. But obviously they got in here in the 90s. So I don't know if things have changed from the 90s, but I don't know much about this or how this works. But the thing that I, and even with the kids at the moment, have you seen how many freaking kids are terrorizing Melbourne?
Yeah.
There is so much shit, and they put them in and then they let them back out. And that's my, right now, like, there just needs to be tougher laws. I don't give a shit. Like, if you are committing crimes, if you've been let out on bail once and then you're sent back, that's it. You do not get second chances. I'm sick of this second chance shit. Like, honestly, I'm sick of it.
I think, like, what would have helped in this case is because he was here on a visa, like, if he wasn't a citizen, when that intervention order got brought against him, that should have been the chance where it's like, well, hey mate, you're here on a visa, you don't just get to come in here and do what you want. I think that should have been treated a bit more strongly. You know what I mean?
100%.
Mm.
And like his mother, like, I mean, I've just seen like some of the articles that she's like horrified, whatever. She's like, do you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't have any contact with his younger brother. And I think, yeah, she just says he was a loner. We had the family didn't even know that he was stalking Celeste. But like, didn't
see,
they?
I think that's an issue in itself. Up?
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's something just not right. I just don't know how else to say it. There's just something not right going on here.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, he was an adult, yes, but I think the way, like, obviously the way he's been brought up, he's had a bit of a different life to everybody else, but parents can't just step back and say, you know, it's all chemical, you know, it's all in their brain. That's the way they are. I can't do anything about it. Like, there is something that you could have done. I think, yeah.
It is such a sad story, and honestly, I support Celeste's family. I'll sign all the petitions. Next time, if I freaking know that there is going to be a march, I will be there for sure. I didn't know about it last weekend. I think I messaged you, and I'm like, Lockie, I freaking would have gone if I knew about it. So, but yeah.
But yeah, we'll pop them up on our Instagram for people to sign.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very sad.
It is.
So if you have a case you want us to cover, you can send us a message on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is at Caffeine Crime and Canines, or you can head to our website and leave a request in the request box. If you want to support the podcast, you can leave us a 5-star review. You can head to our website to purchase some merchandise, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/caffeinecrimeandcanines.
And until next week.
Until next week.
Bye.
Bye.